Les Parker.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Erie House Oldie-Timey Radio. Welcome to the bus stop here. I'm Dale Kay from Spook Show here along with...
Dave Bickley from Wayne, This Really Bad Movie and Spaceship One, and we're here with...
Yes, I got to go, blah, blah, to you all, and I'm only here because accidents will happen.
I thought you were only here because it was raining outside.
Oh, no, we have a boat for that. We have, you know...
You're one of the better accidents that happened to us, Gar.
Well, that's a good thing, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
So good to see good old Bob back in the chat along with Fogsbane. Welcome, gentlemen. And them what we can't see them, but we know you're listening. Be it live or Memorex.
All those sneaky folks living on the brink of the room.
Yep.
They're jumping.
I wonder if I can distort. Mine doesn't do that. Oh, it's time to go.
Yeah, stop distorting your thingy on the air live here. This is we're PG.
Starting what thingy on? With PG?
Yeah. Pretty good.
Parental guidance?
No, pretty good.
Good.
Oh. Pretty good.
Pretty good?
Yeah, pretty good stuff.
PDG is pretty darn good, I guess.
Yep. I don't know what your bus experiences are like, but we've got three, count them, three good old-time radio shows regarding buses.
Yep.
School
bus
and public transport.
That's true, yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah, I had school bus when we was in Norton. I guess in Louisville I had a school bus, too, come to think of it.
You were one of those people that walked in the snow uphill both ways. No? You took a bus?
Well, we had to push the bus uphill.
Yeah. I went to school on the yellow school bus, and I did a lot of public bus riding as a ute, I would say, in my as a preteen and as a teen. To go like to downtown Cleveland, I'd jump on a series of buses. You get a transfer, you get on another bus, and you end up like a million miles from home. And it was very cool back then. It was relatively safe to do that.
And Dale, was it a short school bus?
No, I was in the full length bus.
You're in the full length. You were in the economy size bus. Yeah. You were one of the double-decker school buses, yeah.
No. It was here in the States.
I don't think there's a double-decker school bus for kids in the UK or elsewhere. I could be
there
wrong.
There ought to be. Yeah. There ought to be.
Well, the bus barely held enough kids for, there were empty seats.
Especially the double-deckers with the open tops. You take a couple corners real good. You can keep them nasty kids kind of quiet.
Or you can reduce your quota of classroom attendance. Yeah, definitely.
There you go. All in one shot.
Yeah.
Where's Johnny? I swear he was on the bus when we started.
Yeah.
Exactly. I should know this, and I don't.
Lots of good buses in movies. Of course, you have Speed with Keanu Reeves. Whatever.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Gar and I and Dave were talking about a little something, the movie The Gauntlet with Clint Eastwood and Sandra Locke.
I only caught the beginning of it today, and I was like, wow, I didn't know they cussed that much in the 70s.
Oh, yeah. That's when it started. There were some vulgarities for sure, and it was definitely an action picture. I enjoyed it at the time. I was a big fan of Clint Eastwood's, like, his westerns and his police movies, his Dirty Harry movies.
I was too. I don't remember all the cussing, though. I was like, wow.
Not on TV, no. You got the watered-down version on TV.
Yeah.
And Dirty Harry wasn't as bad. They got progressively worse as that series went on, series of films.
Gauntlet was really, you better put on a helmet and wear a seatbelt. That's pretty rough.
Yeah. There are F-bombs being tossed. But be that as it may, we've got clean material, but nonetheless exciting. From old-time radio, we got a Green Hornet for you, a Crisis, and a little bit of comedy with Life of Riley.
Yeah. An interesting show. That is a fun show. We gotta start there, Dale, tonight with a little bit of a little bit of smile there.
Where is it? I just did it.
Yep.
Did it? Okay. Okay,
it's our boy Riley.
Dave, is the Green Hornet this week portrayed the actor Robert Hall, or is that incorrect?
I thought that was the guy who sold the clothes. I don't know.
Okay, let's see. Originally Al Hodge, but then he was succeeded by Donovan Faust and then Robert Hall and then Jack McCarthy. Is that right?
What's the matter? The guys couldn't hold a Green Hornet job?
I don't know. He had more jobs than I do, and I had a lot. You know how many I had.
I tell you what, that's what's wrong with Raid. It takes out the Green Hornet.
I'll give it to you. I was looking at the time frame, and 1945 to 47 was a Mr. Robert Hall as Britt Reed.
Yep.
The Green Hornet.
We'll get to more Green Hornet a little later on, but as Dave mentioned, let's start on the comical side as our boy Riley takes on the bus company.
The 51 cents.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Wow.
He's
really knocking him down.
Sue the bus company.
What was he living in Sioux City at the time? You know.
That we'll discover.
We could.
I think he's looking for an air date there, Gar.
Yeah, our boy William.
I think he was, and I lost it. October 19th, 1946. I apologize. I'm all over the place.
Episode
Seal for a beautiful smile. The Life of Riley for laughs. Teal, T-E-E-L, teal, the amazing liquid dentifrice. That's it. T-E-E-L. Teal, the amazing liquid dentifrice, brings you The Life of Riley with William Bendix as Riley. Remember, friends, for beautiful smiles, it's T-E-E-L, teal. And right now, it's The Life of Riley. There are 30 million people in the United States who own autos. That means that there are 30 million people who can't imagine how Chester A. Riley is feeling right now as he stands on a street corner waiting for a bus to take him home from work. Waiting with him is his friend, Jim Gillis.
Here it comes. There it goes. How do you like that, Gillis? That's the third bus passed us right by. What do them drivers think we are, a stop sign?
Relax, Riley. Let calmness be prevalent.
We're human beings, ain't we? We got rights. I tell you, Gillis, this is against the Constitution.
You don't know what you're talking about. What Constitution?
Well, my constitution. It's getting tired standing here. This has got to stop. Those buses have been passing people by now for 5 years.
Yeah, but you got to admit the service is improving. Now they just pass you by. They don't jump onto the curb and try and knock you down. Oh, here comes another one, Riley. Get your transfer ready.
Yeah, this one's slowing down.
Hey, look out, he's speeding up. Why, you no good.
And that goes for your whole company.
Listen, Riley, what are you getting so excited for? We're only a few blocks from home. Let's walk.
No, I got a transfer, and I'm going to use it.
Well, I'm walking.
Not me. That bus company owes me a ride. And I'm riding home tonight if I have to stand here until morning to do it.
Hey, you on the curb, wake up.
Waiting
for a bus?
That's my business. On your way to hold the bus. Wait, don't leave. I'm coming.
Step in. Speed it up. Watch your step. Have your fare ready. Move to the rear.
Which do you want me to do first?
Okay, wise guy. Watch the door.
Look, buddy, I've ridden on buses before. Would you mind opening your door? My foot's still out in the street.
I told you to watch out. Now put your fare in the box.
I got a transfer here.
This transfer's no good. Put a dime in the box.
No good? What do you mean, no good?
It's punch 6 o'clock. It's almost 8 now.
But I've been waiting on that corner for over an hour. 6 buses passed me by.
Deposit 10 cents in the box or get off the vehicle.
Now, look here, you. I ain't paying no fare and I ain't getting off this bus. I know my rights. And if I get off this bus, somebody a lot bigger than me will have to throw me off. He didn't look that big sitting down.
Riley, is that you? Where have you been? What happened?
What's the matter, Pop?
They can't do this to me. They won't get away with it. I'm a citizen. I owe as much taxes as the next guy.
Oh, Riley, calm down and tell us what happened.
Yeah, spill it, Pop.
I got thrown off a bus.
Oh, is that all?
Well, that's a fine answer. You'd think my own wife would show a little interest.
Of course I'm interested. Now, what really happened?
Well, this driver said my transfer was no good and he got rough.
Pop, you let a bus driver push you around?
Well, no. No bus driver's pushing your old man around. All he did was grab me by the seat of my pants, throw me down the steps and halfway into a sewer. Lucky for him, he didn't go too far.
All right, Riley, now sit down. Supper's ready.
I can't eat now. If I eat in the state I'm in, I'll get acute indigestion.
But, dear, we've got a steak.
Okay, so I'll suffer. And so will that bus company suffer. I'm going
to... Riley, stop taking this so serious.
Well, believe me, it is serious. When a citizen of the United States don't dare get on a bus without a personal bodyguard.
You know what, Pop? You ought to take this up with the CIA.
CIA? What's that?
The Community Improvement Association. I saw something about it in the paper. Oh, yeah, here it is. Listen. The second meeting of the newly formed Community Improvement Association will be held tonight at the high school auditorium. J. Cheever Bennett, well-known local attorney, will preside. All citizens are urged to attend and air their complaints.
That's for me. I'm going there. My complaint needs a little airing.
Oh, Riley, why make such a fuss?
I ain't throwing out my hard-earned money on transfers they refuse.
But a transfer is only a few cents.
With me, it ain't the money. It's the principal and the money.
Hey, Riley, what are you doing around here?
Oh, hello, Gillis. I'm going to CIA meeting.
So am I.
I'm going to complain about the bus. What are you complaining about?
Nothing, just going for pleasure. I'm so sick of my wife's complaints, it'll be a relief to hear somebody else shoot their mouth off. You know, like the French say, a busboy's holiday.
Hey, we better go in. I think they started already.
Oh, yeah.
And when I organized this association, I did so with one paramount purpose in mind. Community improvement through community action.
That's J. Cheever Bennett, the lawyer. Brilliant. I'm a graduate from William and Mary.
You don't say. Two colleges.
And so I say it is not only your civic right, but your civic duty to fight injustice wherever it rears its ugly head.
Gillis, I can't see. Please move your ugly head. Well, I'm very fancy.
And so it is up to you, the citizens of this community. Let us hear your complaints and we will act. The floor is now open.
Go on, Riley. Now's your chance.
Well, I've been thinking it over. I changed my mind.
Come, come. We're here to share each other's problems.
My friend here, Riley, has a complaint he wants to bring before this august body.
Mr. Riley has the floor.
Well, this evening I was standing on the corner waiting for a bus. There I was, a decent, lovable law. And there I was, laying in the gutter with a transfer in my hand. And I say to you, is that a way to treat the gutters of our fair city? I thank you.
I am sure that Mr. Riley's shameful experience has aroused the righteous indignation in each and every one of us.
Oh, it was awful.
My friend, something must be done, and done immediately.
Sooner than immediately.
We must fight this in the courts. A test case. We must sue.
Hey, wait, just a minute. Wait.
The bus company must realize that it cannot trample roughshod on the rights of the people.
Come on.
Mr. Riley. If you put that in the form of a motion.
But I don't want to sue.
You're out of order. Do I get a motion?
But I
so move.
Thank you, Mr. Gillis. Will someone second it?
I also second it.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Me.
The motion is carried. Mr. Riley, we understand your natural trepidation in getting involved in a court case. You are worried about expenses, lawyer's fees, but let me assure you, sir, that this organization will stand behind you with every cent in its treasury. And now I would like to pass the hat around for a defense fund.
We'll start with you, Mr. Riley.
Trapped.
Oh, honest, Riley, anybody who'd get mixed up in a lawsuit with a big bus company
is
just...
it's all settled. My head's made up.
It's not settled. I want you to drop the whole thing. What have you got to gain? You're only suing for 51 cents.
It's not the money. I'm just doing my duty as a citizen. This is a test case, an experiment. Someday you'll be proud that you're married to a guinea pig.
Oh, gee, Pop, I guess you're a pretty important guy.
Son, when you put it that way, how can I argue with you?
I don't like this, Riley.
Peg, will you please stop worrying? I'm a cinch to win this case. Guess who's going to be here in a little while with my lawyer? The bus company's lawyer, Andrew Crow.
Andrew Crow?
Yeah.
Why, he's the famous criminal lawyer.
They're scared. They know they're dealing with me, so they got a criminal lawyer.
Pop, what's he coming here for?
He wants to compromise me. You know, settle out of court.
Oh, that's wonderful.
But I ain't going to. I'm going to lick him in court. The whole town's counting on me.
But, Riley, don't you...
Oh, that's them. Now, Peg, let me do the talking.
Well, Riley, my esteemed client.
Hello, Mr. Bennett. Come in.
Riley, this is Mr. Krull, who represents the bus company.
Oh. Well, you can't always be on the winning side, huh, Mr. Krull?
Not always. The fact is, Mr. Riley, my client is willing to effect a compromise, but Mr. Bennett here refuses.
Oh, absolutely. We demand vindication in court. On that score, my client and I are of one mind.
That's right. We got only one mind between us.
But, Mr. Riley, my company is willing to tender a formal apology.
Riley, if they're willing to apologize...
So, Mr. Crow, they're willing to apologize, huh?
Yes.
Will the president of the company get down on his knees in the bus terminal?
Well, hardly.
Then nothing doing. We'll settle this in court tomorrow.
Very well. Oh, yes. And by the way, Mr. Riley, I hope you realize that if you insist on going to trial, we shall be forced to institute a countersuit against you on behalf of the bus driver for assault and battery with intent to kill. The maximum penalty is 5 years. Good day.
Wait, Mr. Crow. Let's talk this over.
Good day, Mr.
No, wait, please, Mr. Crow. Here, sit down. Have a cigar. Peg, get him a Coke. Junior, shine his shoes.
You've changed your mind, Mr. Riley?
Oh, no, just a moment, Crow. My client is a man of principle, and for that principle, he's willing to risk 10 years in jail.
Now, wait, Bennett. He only said five.
5 years is a long time, Mr. Riley.
Oh, for heaven's sake, Riley, tell Mr. Crowell you'll compromise.
Yeah, yeah. Listen, Mr. Crowell, I'm willing to settle. I got nothing against the bus company. I love that bus company. I'd rather sniff their carbon monoxide than the best perfume. Let's settle, huh?
Well, now you're being sensible.
Oh, just a moment, Crowell. You can't come in here and use your vicious blackmailing tricks.
Blackmail? You accuse me, Andrew Crowell, of blackmail? Why, you unmitigated scoundrel!
Please, Mr. Crowell!
I'll have you disbarred for this.
Please,
how
Mr.
Dare you threaten me with disbarment?
Listen to me. I want to settle.
Settle? It's out of the question. You want a fight, you'll get one.
No, you can't scare us, Crowell. I'm ready to fight this case right up to the Supreme Court. If it takes every cent that Riley has.
Bennett, please,
stay off my side.
Listen, Mr. Crowell.
There's nothing more to be said. Good day.
Oh, don't worry, Riley. We've got him on the run. Yeah, he's on the run, all right. But he's chasing me.
We've got Hans Conrad in there.
Yeah, we do. I love that guy.
Yeah.
He has a character actor.
Hilarious, and he had a great, character actor, and hilarious.
There's some folks that you run across and you wish they were just here forever. That voice and his timing, Hans Conrad, is just, wow, one of my favorites.
Yep, going back to old-time radio tunes, movies. He was in The Twunky. A very weird, unusual movie.
I've shown The Twunky on the Horrible Horror thing.
That's a good one to show. Good one to show.
2 years ago? It was a while ago.
Odd movie.
Yeah. absolutely bizarre. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, he passed away in 82 at the age of 64, just kind of young, you know.
Yeah, I'm there now. Shut up.
Yeah. Let's see what was going on. He was having problems with his heart. He had a stroke in 74, had a heart attack in 79, and remained active until 82. But he did have another heart attack, and he donated his body to science and his voice to old-time radio and anything else that could be archived.
Yep.
I was going to donate my body to science, but they already refused, so.
They already refused? Did they put a stamp on the back of your neck if you get refused? Is that how that works?
They're just picky, I'm telling you.
They put a tag on your ear.
Tag on your ear. Oh, okay.
Yeah, they clip them. Big,
I mean, they have some requirements, but one of them is I had to wait till, you know, I was dead before I could donate my body, you know.
Yeah, they're funny about that.
I once investigated donating blood. I had a little bit spare. And, I went in there and they said, well, we take it out and then we centrifuge it and then we put some back. I was like, what? No. You can take it out. I don't want it back.
Yeah.
So I said, no.
You get cookies and juice?
That was so little. Huh?
You get cookies and
juice? Yeah, cookie, orange juice? Yeah, sure. But
I remember being broken on selling blood. They were paying for it.
Yeah, well, that was where I was going.
I was young.
Relatively young. Well, yeah,
all they get now is I just had my blood work done this week. All they could find was rust and dust.
Rust and dust.
Yeah.
Well, dude, hey.
Rust and dust. It happens. It happens. Yeah.
No, I did get bad news, folks, with the blood test. You're stuck with me for a while.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's all I got. I can't remember if they did something. Well, no, it's all the emergency room stuff. They do a lot of blood testing there.
Yep.
I haven't seen my doctor in a couple months.
When I had my heart attack, they would check me all over. Oh, there's nothing really wrong with you, but we're waiting for the blood. We're waiting for the blood. And then they're like, yep, you had a heart attack, so come on with us. I'm like, really?
Are you on a medication now for the heart thing, or are you all good?
More for cholesterol and stuff like that. They rammed a couple stents up there because I had some cholesterol and blockage and stuff. And for the first year, you take some heavy-duty meds that kind of clean you out a little bit and make sure that your stents take and stay well. And then pretty much just like regular cholesterol medicine, and my numbers have been pretty good. I quit drinking grease and stuff like that.
Oh, man. No more grease?
No more grease.
The gall.
No more shots of, ground
no
beef runoff.
No cast for you, huh?
Ground beef runoff. Mm-hmm. That's good stuff, man.
It is.
My favorite is bacon grease leftover, yeah. That's one of my favorites there.
I haven't had bacon in so long. Wow.
Oh man, I'd inject that stuff if I could. Bacon.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Like peanut butter. Weren't they shooting peanut butter in the 70s or something like that to get high? Some of these crazy kids.
What?
Yeah.
No, really? Peanut
Turned
butter.
Out they were just blocking their veins, man, and almost passing out. They thought they were getting high, I guess. I don't know.
What? Oh my. Oh, that is wrong. I mean, I don't understand the drug culture, but that is just like, wow.
Yeah, that's peanut just beyond butter? Stupid. Beyond stupid.
Yeah, no, that'd be funny.
I'll never do it again.
you take two good spoonfuls of peanut butter and shove it up your nose. And I can't breathe.
With fried banana, no less.
Fried banana, yeah. Oh, fried banana is great.
Fried Niner sandwich.
No. They call it banana splutter in the old country.
Yeah. My last blood test, they complained. They said, you have too much blood in your Mountain Dew stream.
No, okay.
Too many platelets in the Mountain Dew, huh? All right.
That's right.
Look at that fix. While we're in a jovial mood, let us wrap up our comedy story for the night from Life of Riley. Riley sues the bus company. Or does he? We'll find out.
We'll find out.
Well, Riley had a run-in with a bus driver and got thrown off the bus. He complained at a community meeting, and now he finds he's the plaintiff in a lawsuit against the bus company. The trial has been going on all morning, and as we look in on the courtroom now, Riley's friend Gillis is on the stand as a character witness.
Order in the court. Continue with your testimony, Mr. Gillis.
Yeah, Judge. Well, like I was saying, I've always known Riley to be a man of the highest character, honesty, integrity, and indecency.
Thank you, Mr. Gillis. That is all.
Oh, good old Gillis. He sure come through for me, Peg.
How'd I do, pal?
Great, Gillis. I appreciate what you've done. And someday I'll commit perjury for you, too.
Mr. Riley! Take the stand.
I'm coming, Judge.
Order! Order in the court! One more outburst and I will clear the courtroom. Miss Crawl, proceed with the cross-examination.
Mr. Riley, you are suing my client, the bus company, for the sum of 51 cents. What is the 1 cent for?
That's for the fare that I was chiseled out of.
But isn't the fare 10 cents?
Well, sure, but the transfer part is exactly 1 cent worth.
And how do you know it's exactly 1 cent worth?
Well, the whole trip is 10 cents. You go 9 miles on the first bus and 1 mile on the transfer bus. 10 miles, 10 cents. That's 1 cent a mile. I got gypped out of 1 mile, so you owe me 1 cent.
How do you know the transfer bus goes exactly 1 mile?
I took a taxi and I measured it.
And now tell us, please. What is the 50 cents for?
I waited an hour for the bus, and it took me another hour to walk home. My time is valuable. It's worth at least 25 cents an hour.
Mr. Riley, do you actually expect the jury to believe that a healthy man like you took an hour to walk a mere mile? Are you sure you took the shortest way home?
Sure, I'm sure. I went past Mike's barbershop.
You can prove that?
Well, sure. Ask the boys who were in the back. They were having a crap game, and he asked me to watch out for the cops.
I see. Then you did not go directly home.
Well, I made up for lost time. I took a shortcut across Lafayette Park.
Frankly, I don't believe you, Mr. Lally.
I can prove I went through that park. Ask my wife. That night I brought her home 3 dozen roses I picked from the flower bed.
I believe you. Now, the park is only one block from your house, and you had, let's say, about 30 minutes left. 30 minutes to walk one block?
Well, I needed a rest. I stood on the corner in front of a billboard. It had a picture of Lana Turner on it in a bathing suit.
You looked at it for 30 minutes?
Well, I...
Remember, you're under oath.
Lana Turner now has a mustache.
That will be all, Mr. Riley. Your Honor, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, are you going to believe the testimony of an honest, hard-working bus driver or a man who, by his own admission, acts as a lookout for illegal gambling dens, steals flowers from parks maintained by your taxes, who wantonly defaces private property and insults the glory of womanhood?
What a revolting development this is.
The defense rests.
Court is recessed 1 hour for lunch. When we reconvene, I shall charge the jury.
Oh, Peg, they got me. They'll send me to jail, sure.
Now, don't worry, dear. Everything will be all right.
My brain hurts. I'm going to take my head for a walk around the block. Oh, I'm a goner. I'm a goner.
Let me be the judge of that.
Oh, it's you, Digger.
Greetings, Riley. You're looking fine. Very natural.
Digger, were you in court? Did you hear the evidence?
Yes, but don't despair, Riley. Keep fighting. In my profession, we have a saying. Never give up, though things look black. Till the case is closed, a man can bounce back.
Gee, Digger, I never thought this would wind up in a courtroom.
Courtroom. The learned judge quietly snoring at the taxpayer's expense. The opposing attorneys with their thumbs on the scale of justice. The pretty young murderess lifting her skirt to show her dainty limbs to the jury. I adore being on juries. It's okay.
That bus company. I'm through with buses. From now on, I'm walking. So help me, I'll never ride anywhere again.
Oh, yes, you will, believe me. O'Reilly, look, isn't that the judge over there?
Yeah, that's him, in that car over there.
He can't get it started.
Well, that's okay with me. Look at that classy car. I bet he never rode on a bus in his life. No wonder he's prejudiced.
Riley, why don't you help him start his car? He'll appreciate it. It may influence his decision.
Yeah, that's a good idea. So long, Digger.
Cheerio. I'd better be shoveling off.
Pardon me, Judge.
It's you, Mr. Riley.
You having a little trouble with your car?
Yes, it never happened before.
Well, let me take a look under the hood.
It isn't necessary. I can...
Now, just leave it to me, Judge. I know cars. I got a mechanical head. Now, let's see. Try it now, Judge. Try it now.
I am. Now it's completely dead. This is most annoying. I'm expected downtown, and I've got to be back before court. We convene.
Your Honor, why don't you take the bus?
Bus?
Stops right here.
A bus. Yes, I could do that.
Listen, Judge, about my case.
Now, Mr. Riley, it's unethical for me to discuss it with you.
But I'm willing to drop the whole matter.
I'm afraid it's a little too late for that.
But, Your Honor...
Mr. Riley, this world would be a much better place if we all practiced a little more tolerance. Instead of rushing into court on the least provocation for purposes of revenge, we should be tolerant. Ah, the bus. See you in court, Mr. Riley.
Well, if you don't mind, I'll ride along with you.
Oh, no, I'd rather you...
Come on. Get on the bus. I ain't good all day. Lift it, Grandpa. Lift it.
He means you, Judge.
He does? Sir, are you...
No conversation. Put your fare in the box.
See here,
you better pay the fare, Judge.
the fare. Oh, yes. All I have is a dollar bill. Would you change it, please?
Change? You think I got nothing better to do than to make change all day? What do you think this is, the bank?
Now, look here, my man. You keep a civil tongue in your head.
Judgey, you got to be tolerant.
And let me inform you, driver.
Stop shaking that finger in my face, you zombie.
I'll shake my finger as much as I want.
Oh, my eye. Okay, you asked for it. How do you like this?
Why, he slapped me.
Judge, turn the other cheek. He got that one, too.
How dare you lay a hand on me? I'll have
That's
you.
That's enough, buddy. Come on, get off or I'll throw you.
Oh, yeah, I'd like to see you throw the judge off.
Why, he threw us off.
Yeah, Judge. Now, about my case.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, you have heard the testimony in this case, and I now recommend that you bring in a verdict in favor of the plaintiff, Chester A. Riley. Of course, you are perfectly free to bring in a verdict in favor of the bus company, in which case I'll hold you all in contempt of court.
Peg, we won. I told you we'd win.
Oh, I'm so glad it's over. Lucky for us that judge had to take the bus. And what a lucky break that his car wouldn't start.
Yeah, that was a lucky break. Oh, gee, I almost forgot.
Riley, where are you going?
To the judge's car. I got to put back those spark plugs.
And Gamble, makers of Teal, the amazing liquid dentifrice, invites to be their guests next week to hear The Life of Riley with William Bendix as Riley. The Life of Riley is produced for Teal by Irving Brecker and is directed by Don Bernard. Music by Lou Kozlov.
There you go, Life O'Reilly. The comical gem.
It is. Riley is just such a funny character.
And there is a moral, believe it or not.
I was rather hoping you'd say that. Interestingly, Erie House Radio proudly presents Gar's Moral of the Story.
Unless your first name is Sally and your middle name is Sue, stay out of court.
Cashed in on this one, too.
Well, so did Riley, so, you know.
Yeah.
And
yes, he did.
Okay, I could be wrong. I'm not sure. This is, like, crazy to me. The Garculator came up with 51 cents in 1946, equating in 2024 money to $8.21. That's crazy.
Wow, I knew the bus was expensive, but my goodness.
Yeah. It's crazy, I tell you.
Let me see if I did that, if I'm a year off. No, 1946. So, yeah, 1946. Wow. So... I don't think it costs that much to take a bus today.
Well, depends where you're going.
That's true, too.
And if you expect to come back.
Yes, that's true, too.
That's probably an important part of the trip. Yes, getting back alive would be wonderful.
That I forgot. Yeah, a life-changing bus trip for me. I forgot that was a bus trip. Yeah.
You have a life-saving bus trip to share with us?
A life-altering bus trip.
Life-altering bus trip.
I took a bus trip. Yeah, from point A to point B, changed the entire direction of my life. And I didn't end up at the Barnum & Bailey Circus. So, yeah.
Are you going to leave us hanging?
Yeah.
Are you going to leave us hanging?
What about this bus?
We're waiting for this life-changing bus ride.
Yeah.
Oh, it was just one of those things of, like, if you hadn't have taken this divergent path, then things would have been different. And I took a bus trip. That's right.
Okay, but that doesn't tell us what you did.
Or where you went.
Or how it changed your life.
Yeah.
Let's see.
I'm feeling like a dentist here, Dale, pulling teeth.
Drill him.
I would never have become God of the Ghoul if I hadn't have taken that bus trip.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, as I keep extracting, so what on this bus trip made you become wanting to become Gar the Ghoul? We could be here all night, you know. We got an hour to have.
I know. Well, I have my harmonica with me, so that was important, too.
Harmonica?
Just one of those.
I don't think you're going to tell us, Dale.
One of those divergent paths that if you hadn't taken it, you would not have become who you are. And I'm sure that all of us have some divergent path that we took or didn't take that made us who we are. And
yeah, but
it was on a bus. Well, I mean, the bus was just a transport from point A to point B, and then other things happened, and then here I am. But...
Wow. I guess we're not going to hear about the bus trip at all.
We're not going to hear about the bus trip.
I have to tell you that I remember I took the bus, but I don't remember what happened on the bus. I just know I'm here now.
But you remember it made you want to become Gar the Ghoul.
Yeah.
No, if I hadn't have taken the bus, I might not have become Gar the Ghoul. I might have become Gar the Ghoul, but I might not have. It was all about... if I hadn't have taken that bus trip.
So the bus had nothing to do with this or what? I'm confused now.
The bus was like a transport vehicle from point A to point B that got me to where I was to point B, and then things unraveled. And I made other choices, and now I'm Gar the Ghoul. How's that?
So what you're telling me is it took you to the wrong place? Is that what you're saying?
Okay, so here I am at the bus stop.
It took me to the right place.
Here I am at the bus stop thinking, I'm getting on the next bus. I don't care where it is. I need out of this story right now.
I think we have another bus story in the lineup there, don't we?
Well, yeah. Since we already started with some facts about Green Hornet, we might as well go there next.
Oh, darn. Now I have to come up with facts about... Yeah, there it is. Okay. The Green Hornet, we had some interesting stuff about that. They were, apparently, up to 1952, there were 1, 2, 3, 4 different actors that portrayed the Hornet and or Britt Reed.
Yep.
And the one we're going to hear is, I think, Robert Hall. I'm underwater.
So who's Kato?
That's so cool. Not only did this guy play the Green Hornet, but he'd sell you a suit for $29.95 at his store. You know, I really like that. Yeah.
I like it already.
Robert Hall suit.
I can't spell Kato. Come on. Oh, come on. Oh, my gosh.
The AI keeps turning into keto. You know, that's the problem here.
Yeah, I got K-A-8, and I was like, what's going on here? Who's the radio guy? The radio guy was, okay, there we go. Key Luke. Key Luke was the guy. Let me look.
Okay.
Was it Key Luke?
He's a very prominent Asian actor.
1941.
Yep.
Referred to as Filipino because we had stuff going on with the Japanese. Couldn't very well do it. But Key Luke.
Look him up. Interesting career. We'll look him up and talk about him at the break. Let's get started with
one.
Called Accidents Will Happen.
Yes, and I need to flip over that again. And Accidents Will Happen. June 1st, 1946. Blah, blah.
The Green Hornet. Hunts the biggest of all game, public enemies who try to destroy our America. With his faithful valet Cato, Britt Reid, daring young publisher, matches wits with the underworld, risking his life that criminals and racketeers within the law may feel its weight by the sting of the Green Hornet. Ride with Britt Reid in a thrilling adventure, Accidents Will Happen. The Green Hornet strikes again. City bus lines had become headline news. Accident after accident had occurred, all seemingly unrelated, and yet with startling regularity.
Driver, look out for that truck up ahead.
Hey, what the? What?
He's turning right in front of us. We're going to hit.
Stopping here for, driver?
Something's wrong.
Come on, get going. We'll be late for work.
Give us a decent service.
No wonder it won't go. Gas gauge pointed to empty.
Empty? The tank was full when I started out. Something must have happened to that tank.
You better slow down. There's a turn at the foot of this hill.
I can't. The brake won't hold.
The mackerel will turn over when we hit that turn.
Well, when are we going?
Let's get moving.
What's the matter with this bus line?
Sorry, folks. Everybody out. Got a soul leaking tire. Gone flat twice on this trip.
No, no.
All out.
Hey, watch out. We're heading towards the curb.
I can't steer it. Something's happened to the wheel.
We're crashing into that storm window.
Being secretary to Britt Reid, publisher of the Daily Sentinel, isn't easy, since all these complaints about the city bus line have been pouring in.
I know, Miss Case.
There. That's the third pile this morning. And these are only the ones addressed to you personally.
Well, at least no one blames me for all the accidents during the past week. The
city bus line seems to be breaking down completely. No one seems to know whom to blame.
It's bad enough the way bus service has been disrupted. Without taking into account all the people who have been injured in the accidents that have occurred lately.
The Clarion's running editorials asking for private ownership of the bus line.
That may be the solution. Yet up until recently, the city has done a competent job of running the buses.
What stand is the Daily Sentinel going to take, Mr. Reid? Well, so far, we've been rather noncommittal.
If the city transportation department doesn't do something soon to stop this sort of thing, naturally, the Sentinel has...
Hi, Reid. Hi, Casey.
Did you bring the photographs I sent you for, Axford?
Sure. That's what's in this big envelope, Reid.
I'll have a look at them. Did you get a picture of every accident that happened on the bus lines the past week or so?
Yep, every one. Look at that one. Ain't that something?
Well, that's the one where the bus overturned on a curve at the foot of a hill.
Several people were injured in that accident.
You said it. That picture was taken a short time after it happened. You can see there's a big crowd around.
There's a crowd around in each of these photographs. Well, the Sentinel did a good job in getting photographers on the spot in a hurry.
Oh, that we did, Reed. Golly, look at that one, will you? The bus slammed right through a store window.
Pretty bad. Here's one where a bus hit a truck.
Look at that funny-looking little man off to the side there. See? With that cap on and those big ears. He looks like, well, a weasel or something.
Let's see. Oh, you mean in this picture? Can't he scream, though?
No, not in that one, Axford. I mean here in the one where the bus hit the truck.
Huh. Yeah, he's in that one, too. He looks like he... Hey, now, how come he's in both of them pictures, I wonder?
Hold on. Isn't that the same man in this third picture?
Where?
See, they're off to the left.
Well, it is the same one. It doesn't seem possible he could have been on the spot in each of those cases. Each of those accidents was in a different section of the city.
Now, wait a minute. We have two more photographs here. One where a wheel came off a bus. Another where a bus hit a streetcar.
Well, let's see if that guy's in them pictures, too.
I don't find him in this
one. Well, look in the center behind the crowd. That looks like his head. Right there, Mr. Reed.
Well, you're right. That is he.
Well, suffering snakes. Look, he's in this one, too, way off to the side there.
Say, there's more than just coincidence here, I should say.
Now, how the devil do you suppose that little runt got to all them accidents? And why would he want to be there?
He could have gone there in a car, Axford. By following a bus he knew was due to have an accident.
Holy crow. You don't mean to say you think them accidents might have been planned, do you, Reed?
Well, they could have been, I guess. Though I won't go so far as to say I actually think they were. However, I'm curious to know why that man was at the scene of each accident.
If there was some way to find that man, maybe the police could find out if he knows anything about those accidents.
Sure, maybe they could. But how are you going to find a guy in a big city like this?
I have an idea.
Yeah? What is it, Reed?
Take these photographs downstairs. Have them make enlargements, eliminating the picture of the wreck, leaving only the head and shoulders of that man as he stands in the crowd.
What good will that do?
We'll publish the best one in the Sentinel.
What for?
Publish it?
Yes. Remember, the Sentinel's running a contest this month. That roaming photographer thing where a picture is taken here and there throughout the city of small crowds. And some one person's face is picked out and enlarged.
Sure. And the person whose picture is put in the paper comes in and gets tickets to a show.
That's right. We'll publish that man's picture telling him to come in for his free tickets. When he appears, we can get a line on him and the police can question him.
Say, Reed, that's a swell idea.
It is a good idea.
I'm glad you agree. Axford, you get the pictures made up, and I'll have Gunnigan run one of them off. After that, we'll sit back and wait for results.
The following day, in his room in a remote part of the city, the little man in question looked up as the door opened and his girlfriend, Mamie, entered carrying a newspaper.
Hey, Monk, your picture's in the paper.
My picture? What for?
Oh, take it easy, fella. The coppers aren't after you yet. Seems like you won a prize or something.
I didn't try for no prize.
It's right here in the Daily Sentinel. Look.
Well, read what it says, Mamie.
Okay. It says, winner in our roaming photographer contest. If the man whose head is encircled in the above photograph will come to the city desk at the Daily Sentinel, he'll receive two tickets to the hit musical Music in the Air, currently shown at the Playhouse.
So, that's what it is. Yeah, the devil with other money tickets.
Hey, are you nutty? Tickets for that show are selling for $4.40 a seat.
So what?
So I want to see it. Oh, come on, Monk. Go get the tickets and take me to that show.
But I tell you, Mamie, I don't want to go.
Oh, Monk. Won't you do it for me? Please?
Yeah. Okay, Mamie, for you, I'll do it. I'll get on this afternoon and pick up the tickets.
Well, Gunnigan, it's after 5 o'clock, so I'm going home. If there's anything else...
Say, Chief, I was trying to get in touch with you a while ago. That guy whose picture was in the paper came in for his ticket.
He did, eh? Good.
Well, he gave a phony name and address, as we found out by checking. But the cops picked him up as he was leaving so as to question him.
Have you heard what they found out?
Not yet. I've been waiting for a call from Axford. He went down to police headquarters with him, but nothing's come through yet.
I see. I'll be anxious to know what information they get. When Axford gets in touch with you, be sure to have him.
Oh, here he comes now, Chief.
Hi, Reed. How you doing, Gunnigan?
I thought you were going to give me a ring when you got
wasn't
the dope
any use,
on
Gunnigan.
It.
The
cops couldn't get a thing from that weasel-faced guy. They finally had to let him go.
I see. Well, I guess I'll run along. If you hear anything exciting, call me at home.
Okay, Reed. See you later.
So long, Chief.
Goodbye. See you in the morning, Gunnigan.
Right.
Britt Reed left the Sentinel building and went to his apartment, where Cato, his faithful Filipino valet, and the only person knowing his identity as the Green Hornet, was waiting. Britt told Cato about the man in the photographs.
You really think little man have something to do with bus accidents, Mr. Britt?
Well, doesn't it seem strange to you that he should show up at each scene of an accident, Cato?
Oh, yes. That seems more than coincidence.
Well, that's the way I look at it. I have a feeling that man is connected in some way with those bus accidents. Just what his motive would be is hard to guess. Just how he could be connected is a puzzle.
Will police get no information from him?
None, Cato.
You not content to drop matter then?
What do you think?
Well, I think you try to do something to make sure if little men have anything to do with accidents.
Right. I'm going to a show tonight.
You go to show?
Yes. I'm going to see Music in the Air. And I'll have a seat directly behind those occupied by that little man and whatever companion he brings. If he did have any connection with those accidents, I'm going to find a way to make him break down and show just what that connection is. Before I go into the theater, Cato, I want to give you a few directions.
Yes, sir. What I to do?
You go back to the apartment and bring the Black Beauty.
Well, I bring a Hornet disguise, of course.
Yes. Park in the alley across from the theater and wait. I'll join you there right after the show, unless he leaves sooner. Then, of course, I'll join you then.
Well, I meet you, Mr. Britt.
Good.
What you hope to accomplish?
I'm hoping our little friend will lead us to others with whom he'd be working, if he had anything to do with those accidents.
Why do you think he go to see others after show?
My plan works out, that will be the first place he'll go. I'll see you later.
Gee, Monk, that sure was swell. I never saw anything like it before in all my life.
Glad you had a good time, kid. Especially since that didn't cost us nothing.
Monk?
Yeah?
You got the stubs from them theater tickets?
I don't know. Maybe I threw them away.
Oh, Monk. I wanted to save them in my scrapbook. Look in your pockets and see if maybe you put them there.
Okay, Mamie, but I... Hey, what's this?
Looks like a letter.
Well, don't I know that? Didn't have no letter in my side coat pocket.
Open it and see what it is.
Nothing on the outside of the envelope. Yeah, let me see. It's a
Uncle
note.
Toro.
Print it.
What's it say?
Hey, Mamie. Look at here.
What's the matter?
It's a note. Signed by the Green Hornet.
We'll continue our Green Hornet adventure in just a moment.
Thought George Jetson was coming in for a landing for a minute.
Yeah, you never know. I was incorrect. Keith Luke was in the Green Hornet theater serials, but the role of Keith Luke on the radio was Takutaro Hayashi, later named Raymond Toyo, probably, to make it easier on everybody, but then also by Michael Tolan, who's an Italian actor, and then Paul Carnegie. Why do I keep going underwater? Paul Carnegie. also portrayed Cato in the radio series.
Oh, I'm disappointed it wasn't Key Luke. I love him. He was Master Po in Kung Fu, you know.
Yeah, he was Master Po. Yeah, yeah. He was awesome.
I love
He was even, actually before Alec Guinness, he was considered for the role of Obi-Wan Kenobi.
That would have changed everything. Oh, wow.
Oh, but that would have been kind of cool.
That would have been cool.
In a way.
Well,
there are a huge number of Asian overtones in Star Wars. If you remember when they introduced Luke's mother, she was all done up and it looked like Japanese or Asian garb, Asian makeup with the weird lipstick and all that. Amazing how that works out.
Yep.
But
Luke, he was also the guy who had the little shop where the Gremlins were first purchased.
Yeah.
That was Key Luke?
Gremlins 1 and Gremlins 2.
That was Key Luke.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
That was Key Luke. He was born in Canton, Dave. He was born in Canton.
Key Luke was born in Canton, Ohio?
No, Canton.
No, Canton, China. Canton, China.
Oh. I'm sorry. I was like, what?
Tried to spring that on you. Tried to spring that on
you.
Almost got away with it on Gar, but not quite. You guys are too quick for me.
Yeah, they call it Canton there, yes. Canton.
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 Yeah.
I think the political correct police are at my back door. I'm not going down there.
Canton.
I wouldn't. Yeah. Canton. They had a problem with Cato in the beginning because when they started the series in 40, okay, it started in 39, I guess. But then our involvement in World War II? Yeah, World War II.
Actually, the Japanese involvement. I was listening to Gil Hodge talk about that because somebody was asking him about that the transformation. He says, he really was Japanese to begin with. And after Pearl Harbor, we had to change where he was from, make it a little, you know, otherwise it wouldn't have been right. So that's where he became a Filipino.
Yeah, instead of, they didn't make him Chinese, they made him a Filipino valet.
Right.
And then, of course, you know, kick over to 1966-67, and we've got Bruce Lee as Cato, and definitely Hong Kong origins there.
Yeah.
He was also, Key Luke was also number one son in the old Charlie Chan movies from the 30s and 40s.
Oh, right. Charlie Chan, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and let's see. They also flipped him over and turned him into a Korean in a movie serial.
Well, that and he made several appearances in MASH. That turned him into a Korean there, too. Yeah.
Yep. They did what they had to do.
Yeah. Hey, man. It was so bizarre that Asians had such a difficult time getting a foothold in our entertainment business here in the U.S. because of all the stuff that happened in the past.
Yep.
Bruce Lee, had he lived longer, I wonder how much of a stronger impact he would have had on American television and movies.
Who knows?
I mean,
who knows how this episode will end? Accidents will happen.
Yeah, who knows?
From the Green Hornet.
And we have a moral, so we got that going on too. Yeah.
That'll come up right after this part of the conclusion of Accidents Will Happen.
The little man known as Monk stood for a moment staring at the note he had found in his coat pocket as he emerged from the theater. At the mention of the Green Hornet, Mamie gave a gasp of fear.
The Green Hornet signed that note, you say, Monk?
Yeah, I read it. You can fool the cops, but you can't fool me. I'm out to get the gang you're working with, and you'll be in the net with them. Green Hornet.
Gee, Monk, that guy's dynamite.
He thinks he is, anyway.
I'm scared. Monk, what are you going to do?
I'm not going to do what he thinks I will. You can bet on that. Come on, Mamie, let's get going.
We have good view of theater front from here, Mr. Britt.
Yes. People are coming out now. I don't want to miss the man we're watching for.
That's right. If he come out...
Look,
then...
there's the man and girl now. They're reading my note.
We're not able to drive into traffic in front of theater.
No, we'll watch to see them get into the car. Then we'll go through this alley to the next street and spot them at the corner.
Oh, good thing Black Beauty facing other way.
Yes. There they go, Cato.
They're going toward Coupe down the street.
Yes. Take a good look at it.
It'd show up dark red under street light.
They're getting in. Okay, Cato. Get going so we can see them pass the next corner. I don't want to miss them.
Going into old house over there, Mr. Britt.
Expert reported to me later this afternoon that the police followed the man home. This is where he lives. He's pulled a fast one on us.
Fast one?
Yes. He must have guessed that I expected him to go straight to the leader of the gang with that note. Come on, we'll do a little snooping.
Oh, lights come on in room on first floor.
The windows are low enough for us to get a look inside. Let's go.
Meantime, Monk was talking to Mamie inside his room.
I got a hunch that Hornet followed us here, Mamie.
Followed us here? Gee, Monk, what if he...
Don't go getting scared. I know what I'm doing.
What are you going to do?
Now, look. You run across the hall real quick. Tell the landlady to call the cops and tell them the Green Hornet's hanging around here, see? Then beat it right back.
But why don't you go phone your big boss?
Then the landlady get wise. You know she sticks by that phone. Now, go ahead, do like I said.
Okay. I'll be right back.
Make it fast in case the Hornet's snooping. Then he won't know we're doing any phoning.
When girl go out of room a while ago and then come back, you think she go use phone, Mr. Britt?
She wasn't gone long enough for that, kiddo.
We wait a long time now. They just sit and talk. Maybe if Green Hornet go in, little man gets scared.
That might bring results. Come on, I'll go in.
The police come, Mr. Britt.
Yes, run, Cato. We've got to get to the Black Beauty.
Why, you think police come here?
That little man in there must have pulled another fast one, Cato. He's smarter than I thought.
Here, Black Beauty.
Good. Tell me, Cato, do you have those small glass balls filled with gas?
Oh, yes, Mr. Britt. Here you are.
Yeah.
Also filters to wear beneath mask as protection.
Good.
Be sure you wear filter if you use shells of gas.
I'll be sure. Get in. You're going to be on your own, so listen and do just what I tell you.
We sure put one over on Ed Hornet, Mamie. The cops are in full chase.
Yeah, but maybe he'll come back if he gets away, Monk. And if he does come
don't
back...
Don't worry, we won't be here. Now, come on, we'll go see the big boss. He'll arrange another hideout for us.
Gee, Monk, you sure are smart.
You said it, kid. Let's go.
In another part of the city, a meeting had been underway for some time in the basement recreation room of Councilman Robbins' home.
I asked you to come here tonight, Stacy, because things are progressing very rapidly in regard to the city transportation system's bus line.
Fine, fine. Of course, if things go our way, Robbins, you'll get the monetary reward we promised you.
I'm not very well liked on the city council, Stacy. Nearly everything I go for, the others are against. That's what I've been counting on in this case.
Well, of course, we'll have to be assured that if they vote for private ownership of the bus lines, it'll come to our company.
I know it will. Didn't I tell you that you had the best bid when they thought about private ownership last year and called for bids on it? Of course, the bids were all kept confidential, even though they decided not to give up ownership.
I know. When you came to me with the proposition that you had a plan to force them to give it up, I was skeptical. But it looks now as though you might succeed.
Now, listen. When we met today at the council table, the first thing I did was to make a strong speech about the city keeping ownership. When I finished, Nearly every other councilman wanted a vote on giving it up.
Oh.
That's a sure bet. They'll vote on it tomorrow.
And with our proposition before them, with promises of new equipment, low rates, we ought to get it, hmm?
If I wasn't sure of it, I wouldn't have come to you. One thing, though, Stacy.
Yes?
Before the boys come for their instructions, how about some sort of written agreement?
Well, sir, I thought of that. I brought this over. Drawn up according to our talk the other day.
I am to receive 10% of the stock and $20,000 for services rendered. Good. Of course, this isn't something that could be shown, but it's a protection for me. There are the boys now. Come in.
Hello, Alan.
These are the three men I placed in the bus barns. No use going into introductions.
Well, that's right.
Sit down, boy.
Thanks, boys.
Here on the table, I have a schedule of buses that run later tonight and in the morning.
Okay, boss, give them to us.
Here's one for each of you. The bus that's to have difficulties is marked in red pencil with a suggestion in the margin as to how you might go about it.
We'll see that things happen just like you want them to, boss.
Good. I have a man checking up to see that the scheduled accidents do happen. He's been at the scene of every accident, and will continue to see that you do your job.
You haven't any kick coming so far, have you?
No, not at all. I think you've all done a good job. That must be Monk now. Well, who's the young lady, Monk? You should know better than to bring
her. She's okay, boss. Help me get rid of somebody who was getting on our trail.
What do you mean?
I mean the Green Hornet.
Quiet, everybody. What makes you think the Hornet is...
This note. I went to show with Mamie, and this was in my pocket when we came out.
You can fool the cops, but you can't fool me. I'm out to get the gang you're working with, and you'll be in the net with him. Signed, the Green Hornet.
What are you going
to... You don't have to worry. Monk got rid of him quick, didn't you, Monk?
Yeah. I can't go back to my place to stay anymore, boss. He knows where I live now.
How did you get rid of him?
I called the cops. Last we knew of the Hornet, the cops were hot on his trail. He sure must have got a surprise.
Monk's smart. He knows all the angles.
Maybe so, but that Hornet's smart, too. We'll all have to watch our step. It won't be long now until we've accomplished what we set out to do.
You'll never finish what you've started, Big Shot.
How'd you get here?
In the luggage compartment of your car, wise guy.
This is preposterous. He can't hope to get out of this room with all us here.
Don't worry, Stacy, he won't. My men carry guns. He won't leave here.
That dope. He goes from one trap into another.
I already got him covered, boss.
So we fell him full of lead?
Wait a minute.
Hey.
What's that?
This thin glass ball is sort of a bomb. One move from any of you, and I'll throw it.
Wait, everybody. He's bluffing. That's probably nothing but a Christmas decoration.
Well, sure. Thought it looked familiar. I've seen lots of them just like that.
Don't say I haven't warned you.
If that was a bomb, it would hurt you as much as us.
Don't count on that.
You're bluffing. And I'm calling you. Come on, boys, rush.
You asked for it?
Hey, look out.
What is that stuff that's getting me?
Here's something else that'll get you.
I can't breathe.
I helped finish Crooks.
Yeah. Hold it. The gas will take care of him.
Well, that's good.
You're wearing a filter beneath that mask?
Yes, I am.
We give up.
Line those three mugs up and tie them.
I do it quick.
Let's see what this lug has in his pockets. Robbins. Councilman Robbins has a deal with Stacy of Citywide Bus Company.
I'm getting men tied. They're going to sleep.
That gas is very strong. Bus schedules. Directions marked for causing accidents. This is all the evidence the police will need. I'll phone them to come get these crooks. Later in the city room of the Daily Sentinel...
Golly Gunnigan, where's to Reed? Hears about this?
Yeah, we sure got a haul this night.
Holy mackerel, Reed's hunch about that little guy having something to do with them accidents turned out to be right after all, didn't it?
Sure did.
Reed told us about his suspicion, and we went to work on that runt, but we couldn't get anywhere.
It took the Green Hornet to do the trick.
What's that about the Green Hornet?
Chief, the cops
Reed,
got all
wait,
the dope.
Let me tell you what we've found.
One at a time here. One at a time.
You tell him, Ashford.
No. You tell him, Gunnigan.
No. You tell him, Sarge.
Well, for Pete's sake, somebody tell me something.
Okay, Mr. Reed. We got the gang that was causing them accidents. So they weren't accidents at all.
Councilman Robbins was at the head of it. He was to get a lot of graft from a guy named Stacy who wanted to own the bus line.
Really?
The cops got them all with plenty of evidence.
Funny thing, too. We got a call from some woman to come to that runt's address to pick up the Hornet. He must have doubled back and followed that weasel-faced guy to the gang headwood. And being sore, turned them all in. We almost got the Hornet that time, too.
Almost is right.
Ah, listen, Mike. You know as well as I do that Spalpeen's full of tricks. He used a smokescreen to get away and a gas bomb to trap the crooks.
Well, at least we know the truth about the bus lines. The city will continue to run them.
Accidents will happen, of course. But thanks to the Hornet, they won't be made to happen from now on.
We'll give Mr. Reed a little credit for suspecting what was going on. But the main credit for busting the thing wide open has to go to the Hornet, I guess.
Okay by me, Sergeant. Far be it from me to be envious of the Green Hornet at any time.
When the bus breaks down, you might regret not taking the train.
Thank you, Johnny.
Mm-hmm. The same actor that voiced Cato also wrapped up the episode by saying, Wextree, Wextree, read all about it. That was the same actor.
Ah.
Same actor is what?
Or not.
The same actor is what?
What? The same actor that portrayed Cato closed each episode by saying, Wextree, Wextree, read all about it. And he read off
he turned into a newspaper boy by... So
he turned into newspaper boy
by night and newspaper boy by day. Okay.
I guess so.
Yep.
Bomb cat.
Sometimes I just have to connect the dots. Yep. Sometimes I just have to connect the dots. I'm sorry.
Yep.
Yeah. Speaking of dots, hey Dale. Key Luke actually was an artist and he wrote the artistic rendering of a prop used in King Kong, 1933.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's truly amazing. He had to be very young at that time.
But he had his artworks in the Chinese theater in California,
oh,
in a tea room. Amazing artist. I had no idea.
Yeah. It's how he broke into the movies, actually.
You know, I would have been an amazing artist if I hadn't taken that bus.
Ah, now we finally get the answer. We finally get the answer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would make a good anthology series. Something always having to do with getting on or off the bus. And something weird happens. You know, that'd be good.
Yeah, the people get on the bus and sit down next to the guy and tell a story of their life.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Remember that series called The Hitchhiker? Every week, Hitchhiker. Yeah.
Yeah. This would be like that.
Yeah. Gosh, where was that? No, that was on a train. Different story. That I can't tell.
The bus.
About a train.
I don't know if you could do that, though, because, you know, that's a lot of correct change you have to have.
Yes, indeed.
For a train or for a bus?
For a bus, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Who carries change anymore? I think by now it's like a plastic card you swipe.
I keep change. I don't know why. I still carry change out of habit. I don't feel right leaving the house without my keys, some change, and my wallet.
I have
the cell phone?
I
can forget the cell phone.
Yeah.
Now I got to have my cell. Got it.
Yeah. What do I use my cell phone for? GPS. I don't get out enough, and the city has changed so much where I live, I'd get lost if I didn't have the GPS. Seriously, it's crazy.
I would prefer to get lost than have the entire planet be able to track me, even though I don't go anywhere.
There are different routes that the GPS takes me. That have offered me new insights to where I live, because I was like, I've never seen this neighborhood. I could be very lost, or it's taking me somewhere.
If only you would never have gotten on the bus.
It was about that bus trip, yeah.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for the bus, I never would have got that cell phone.
It wasn't a bus trip to Disneyland, was it? Or Buena Vista, perhaps?
It was not. It was no. We'll find out about that. Nice segue.
To bridge my way over. That's right.
I would. Yeah. Yeah. There is a Buena Vista down here in Florida, but I wouldn't get on the bus to go there.
Yeah. It was a beautiful picture of they would have at the end of the Disney things, and it would say Buena Vista and this wonderful script. Text.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Buena Vista. Yeah. Yeah.
Buena Vista.
It's a real pigsty. I wouldn't go there.
Isn't Buena Vista Spanish for more gas, please? Isn't that what that is?
Yeah.
Buena is
hole.
New Vista is frontier.
I'm not good at Spanish. I'm only good at Spanish.
Buena is the ending in A means it's a feminine aspect word, but Bueno is new, I think.
I don't know. I say if my two destinations in Florida, after meeting Gar the Ghoul in person, my next best thing I'd want to do in Florida is Jupiter. Florida.
Okay. So Buena is not new. It's good. And Vista is a pleasing view. Good view? So it's a good view? I don't know.
It's an Italian credit card. I got it a Vista.
Hey, a Vista.
I had a good view until she closed her window shades. But anyway.
Well, you know, there's that.
Yeah.
That's another story.
I'm going to tell CW on you.
I know.
I'll take the heat off of me. Anyway, let's get moving to Buena Vista. As we jump on a bus there. In this episode of Crisis, originally broadcast.
April 24th, 1975.
80.
Episode number 66.
75, isn't it?
And now, the bus to Buena Vista.
Buena Vista.
This is it, ma'am. Welcome aboard.
Why, thank you. Oh, my, isn't it a beautiful day? How much is the fare?
No charge, ma'am. It's all included. This is a charter bus.
Oh, how nice.
Just take a seat, please.
Thank you. There. I brought along my knitting. I'm making a sweater for my daughter, or rather for her baby. She's expecting any time now. I saw her at Mercy Hospital today.
That's nice.
Does it bother you if I talk?
Oh, not at all. I know this route like the back of my hand.
How long does it take to get to Buena Vista?
Oh, just a few hours.
You know, I've heard about it ever since I was a child. Is it lovely there?
Very.
But then why am I the only one on the bus?
There will be others. You're the first, that's all. See, there's someone waiting up ahead on the corner.
Good. I'll have someone to talk to. Oh, I mean, I won't have to bother you.
That's okay.
What in the world is he carrying? Why, it looks like my big silver punch bowl.
Is this the bus to Buena Vista?
This is it, sir. Welcome aboard.
Wow, I thought I missed.
I'm right on schedule. Just be seated, sir. The fare's been taken care of.
Oh, thanks.
You're welcome.
Oh, excuse me, sir.
You talking to me? Listen, don't call me sir. The name's Paul. Paul Mason.
Well, I don't mean to be nosy, Mr. Mason, but...
Paul? Say, is this seat taken? Okay if I sit with you?
Why, certainly.
I mean, there's only two of us here. We might as well wrap a little. We're going to the same place, right? Buena Vista?
Right. I was just wondering where you got that beautiful silver bowl.
Bowl? This is no bowl, lady. It's a cup. I won this beauty today in a race.
Oh, well, congratulations.
Hey, thanks. Isn't it something? Yes, sir. Boy, there wasn't a car on that track that could get close to me. When they waved that checkered flag at the finish line, the crowd went ape. Hey, bet you think I'm nuts taking it to Buena Vista, right?
Oh, not at all.
Well, this baby doesn't leave my sight. I promised myself after this race, win or lose, I was taking some time off.
And you deserve it. Racing those cars must be pretty exhausting.
Oh, you said it, lady.
Now, look, you can't go on calling me lady if I'm going to call you Paul. My name is Constance Fowler.
Oh, great. I'll call you Connie.
Please do.
Say, what's that you're knitting?
Oh, just a little sweater for my first grandchild.
Oh, that's nice. How old is he, or she?
It's not been born yet. My daughter's in Mercy Hospital right now. I went to see her today.
Oh, you must be pretty excited.
Oh, I certainly am.
Hey, we're going to stop. Oh, there's someone waiting up ahead.
Oh, it looks like an old man.
Gee, I hope Buena Vista isn't just for old folks. I mean, I'm not one to just sit around watching old people rock and knit. Hey, I didn't mean you, Connie. I just gotta have a little action, that's...
Oh, I understand.
Is this the bus to Buena Vista?
That it is. Welcome aboard.
Paul, why don't you help that poor old man up the steps? He doesn't look too steady on his feet.
Oh, sure thing. Hey, can I give you a hand there, Dad? These steps are a little tricky.
Thank you, young man.
Here, take my hand. There we go. One more step. That's it. No, don't bother about the fare. It's part of the trip. Now, come on and sit with us, will you? I'm Paul Mason, and this here lady is Connie Fowler. Here, take this seat right across the aisle.
Thank you.
There you go.
I'm Mr. Witherspoon.
Oh, nice to meet you.
How do you do, Mr. Witherspoon?
I've waited such a long time. I wasn't sure this was my bus. The old eyes aren't what they used to be.
What is?
Beautiful view.
What's that?
That's what Buena Vista means. Beautiful view.
Oh, is that a fact?
Oh, it's going to be just heavenly. I know it. Is this your first trip to Buena Vista, Mr. Witherspoon?
Yes. Suddenly, I just had to go away. I can't explain it.
Well, don't try. Everyone should go away sometime. Well, that's what we're doing.
Is it very far?
We'll be there before you know it.
That's good. I don't like trips much.
Why is that?
Well, my wife went on a trip once, and she didn't come back.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. It was many years ago.
Well, we'll see that you have company all the time, won't we, Paul?
Oh, sure.
Oh, you're very kind, both of you.
Well, look, another passenger.
Hey, you're right. And just my type.
What do you mean?
A girl! Well, it's about time.
Mr. Witherspoon, I think we've seen the last of Paul Mason.
Connie, would you do me a favor? Hey, would you mind sitting across the aisle with Mr. Witherspoon?
I understand, Paul. No, I don't mind at all. Here, move my knitting bag.
Thanks, Connie.
Is this the bus to Buena Vista?
Sure is, miss. Welcome aboard.
Well, I've got a little problem. I was waiting there on the bench and I saw the bus coming. And I reached for my handbag and it wasn't gone.
Miss, the fare is paid.
Well, you don't have to worry. My boyfriend, Jerry, is getting on at the next stop. He has money.
No problem, miss. Have a seat.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Hey, honey, I've got a seat right here for you.
What?
Sit here.
Oh, no, thanks. I'll just sit over by the window. Jerry, well, that's my boyfriend. He'll be getting on soon.
Ah, come on. No strings attached. Join the group. When Jerry gets on, you can move.
Please join us.
Yes, please do.
Well, I guess it'll be okay. But just till we pick up Jerry.
Oh, sure thing.
Thank you.
What's your name?
Sandy. Sandy Butler.
I'm Paul Mason. This lady is Connie Fowler, and the gentleman by the window is Mr. Witherspoon.
Hello,
how do
you do? Nice to meet you.
There, see? Now we're all old friends.
What's that thing?
Thing, she calls it. Child, this thing is an auto racing cup. I won it today.
Oh, really?
Have you been to Buena Vista before, Sandy?
No, I haven't. What's it like?
I don't know. It's my first time.
Yeah, mine too.
Mr. Witherspoon?
I don't take many trips.
Well, then, it'll be a new experience for all of us.
Hey, Sandy, look up ahead. Is that your boyfriend, Jerry, waving us down?
Where? Yes, yes, that's Jerry. Oh, I didn't tell you all. We're loping.
Just my luck.
He's the greatest guy. You'll like him. Driver, slow down. There's Jerry.
He doesn't seem to notice.
Driver, you got a fare.
He's
slow down.
He's not going to stop.
We went right past him. Driver, that was my boyfriend. Didn't you see him waving? Stop the bus. Please stop the bus. Oh, excuse me. Let me get up there. Driver, why didn't you stop? I told you Jerry would be getting on.
Miss, there are only four passengers on my manifest. See for yourself.
No, there's some mistake. We're loping. You've got to go back and get him.
I'm afraid that's impossible.
Mrs. Fowler, what am I going to do? The driver won't go back and I'm all alone. I have no money.
Yes, please, calm down, Sandy. As soon as we arrive at Buena Vista, we'll call Jerry and tell him what happened.
Yes, I guess I have no choice. Oh, Daddy's going to be furious.
Why, dear?
He can't stand Jerry. He threatened to shoot him if he ever caught him around the house again. But I'll have to call him.
Now, if it's about money, don't worry. I have plenty. Harrison and I, well, that's my husband, love to do things for people less fortunate than ourselves.
Gee, Mrs. Fowler, thanks. I'll pay you back.
Hey, just a minute. Connie, are you Mrs. Harrison Fowler? Mrs. Harrison Fowler III?
Yes.
Sandy, don't worry about the money. Her husband is the big auto parts tycoon. There are Fowler parts on my racing car. This lady's loaded.
You're making me feel guilty.
Oh, heck no. Well, I'll be darned. Hey, Mr. Witherspoon, you hear that? We're going to Buena Vista with Mrs. Harrison Fowler III.
So what? I'm Henry Witherspoon I.
And you're a multimillionaire, right?
No, I'm just an old man wondering where we're going.
What do you mean?
Look out the window. It looks like we've changed direction.
What? Well, I'll be it. We have changed direction. Driver! Are you sure you're on the right route?
Oh, yes, sir. I make this trip every day.
Paul, you just turned around. That's all.
No way. We are going in the wrong direction. I know it.
Do you think it'll take much longer?
I don't know. It's been hours.
Yes, but to where?
Paul, I'm sure there's nothing to worry about. The driver must know where he's going.
Yeah, maybe. Anyway, at this speed, I'm not going to argue with him.
Relax. Look at Mr. Witherspoon. He's not worried. He fell asleep.
Look out the window.
Oh, my God.
What is it?
Nothing. Nothing. No traffic, no lights, no trees, no buildings. Just darkness. Driver!
No cause for alarm, folks. We've arrived.
What?
Thank God.
You see, Paul, you're a worrywart. You'd better wake up Mr. Witherspoon.
Huh? Oh, yeah. Hey, Dad. Hey, Mr. Witherspoon, wake up, will you? We're here.
Yes, I fell asleep. I had the strangest dream. I dreamed we never did get to Buena Vista. Instead...
Everyone out, please.
Okay. Sandy, Connie, you go ahead. I'll help Mr. Witherspoon. Come on, Dad. I'll give you a hand.
Oh, thank you.
Here we go. Just hold on to my arm, will you? That's it. Okay, now watch the steps. There we are. All right, just follow the ladies.
Paul?
Paul?
Look at this place.
What do you mean?
Is this Buena Vista?
It looks like some kind of waiting room.
There's no one here. Just bare walls and rows of benches.
Yeah. Where's that driver? Driver? He's not here, but he has to be. He was on the bus when we got off.
I don't like this place.
But we're going back to that place in just a few moments. So, Dave, tell us.
You stuck up.
Fun at the DoubleTree?
It was just setup time. Tomorrow is the day. If you
tomorrow's
are down in the
day.
Canton, Ohio area, I will be there all day long at the Monster Fest. There's a lot of Bigfoot stuff and things like that there, I guess. So we'll be there all day long. I think Commander Klaus is going to be with me as well. So we're going to have a good time and just hang out and hopefully meet a few people and show some people to our show. And I even have some handouts for Erie House Radio.
Okay. So meet Dave in person right there at Monster Fest down in Canton. And not in China.
Right next to Dave's booth.
Canton, Ohio, yes. Yep.
Yes,
Hall
right next to Dave's booth is Key Luke's booth. And you can see Key Luke there.
Yeah.
Through his barn.
He's been gone for a few years. Yeah, right next to it. You know what's funny is we went and set up. Because we couldn't, they didn't, I got a chart where we were supposed to be, but it wasn't real clear when we got in the room. It was just a bunch of empty tables. And I went there and we were halfway set up when we realized, I said, this isn't right. And I looked at the chart and we were like four rows over. So we brought that table over and took the tablecloth off and moved it over because we already had the banner on it.
Right.
And then took the other tablecloth, put it on there, and then moved the table back over to where we were supposed to be. We pulled out a little bit so I could put the, if you look at either The Weirdest Really Bad Facebook page or my Facebook page or Erie House Facebook page, you'll see it all set up, and it gave us a little bit more room by pulling out the tables just a wee bit.
It looks real good.
Chinese fire drill over there, eh, Dave?
It was, because we were setting up at the wrong place.
It's like,
boy.
Life is an adventure.
It is.
Yes.
And then you get on a bus and everything changes.
Everything changes as soon as you get on the bus.
You end up being Gar the Ghoul.
It is.
But for that bus ride.
I tell you, if it wasn't, there's a joke that Lewis Black does. And he overheard something in the airport, and there's this woman, and she says, "If it wasn't for my horse, I never would have taken that course in college." And it haunted him because it doesn't make any sense.
There's a story behind it. We don't know what it is, but there's a story behind it.
We have no idea, I knew it before I started it, and then I lost it. I don't know. But I kept my bus ticket. Still have it. I have it pressed in a dictionary somewhere.
Yep. If you have a bus ticket,
a
collie, and ice cream, you're set.
Yeah.
Ooh, ice cream.
There you go.
Ooh,
yeah, make
those
sure
are three things that you need: a collie, a bus trip, and some ice cream.
Yeah. Well, make sure that bus trip they allow collies. That would be important.
Yeah. Oh well, if they don't, I'm not going on no bus trip.
There you go. Isn't that weird that on Greyhound they don't allow Greyhounds on the bus?
Yeah.
Isn't that weird?
That's false advertising.
It's just so unfair. Unfair.
That's why I like the Tractor Supply Store. You're allowed to take your dog shopping.
Can you? Okay.
They have dog food in there?
But the dog always wants to drive the tractor.
Well,
yeah, he does.
I like the fact they allow you to take your dog, but do they allow you to take your tractor?
No. It probably wouldn't fit in the aisles of the store.
I'll give it to you.
Pal is like taking a little kid to the store. It goes right by the clothes. I don't want to look at clothes. Oh, no, no, no. We're going where the food and the toys are. That's where we're going.
Right. There you go. Yeah. I remember years ago taking my dog to the pet store and right to the toys.
And strangers to make a fuss over him. He loves that. He loves attention.
Yeah. Yeah.
Spoiled little brat.
Yeah.
He is. He is.
And how does he spoil do?
I don't know.
Must be
wife,
huh?
No, no. I'm probably worse. I'm probably worse. He's good though. He listens, but he just collies are stubborn. They want to get along, but it's like, you know, if I can't see it. They kind of get lazy. You have to be firm.
I have some neighbors, and I would love to ask them, you know, can I take your dog for a walk? Because I take him for like a 3-mile walk in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
But there's too much opportunity for things to go awry. You know, if anything should happen to their dog,
I would feel terrible if somebody else's dog was in my charge and something happened. That would feel bad. I would feel horrible,
yeah.
Awful, terrible.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yep.
I've been so close to going to the local area place where the animal control center and getting a doggy, but I haven't done it. I got really close a couple of days ago.
I was thinking that at my age, this might be my last dog, okay?
Yeah.
But then I had an idea with retirement coming up. This is the first dog I ever bought. I think the world of people who adopt wayward dogs, you know, either at the pound or pick up a stray and adopt them or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That is like one of the greatest things. But bred dogs need homes and love too, you know. They do.
Yes.
And you want the way you get rid of the bad breeders is you don't do business with bad breeders. You have to be careful and go to a good breeder that cares about their dogs and their health and stuff like that. And my wife was very good at picking out the breeder we got this goof from. So what I might do is get a retired breeding dog. Like once they take them out of breeding, let the dog retire with us.
Yeah. Yeah.
That might be a cool thing to do.
I used to always joke around that my dog had better dental than I do. Yeah.
Awesome.
But medical and dental, I pay whatever I need to make sure they're okay. It gets expensive.
Yeah.
And you see where actually a lot of like Nationwide and some other companies are dropping pet insurance now.
Yeah.
So people are paying into that for their animals' protection, and so that, you know, when something happens, they get it covered. And now you've got these companies that were doing that. Now they're giving it up. Nope.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Doesn't make any sense.
Well, it could be
they
the
make
economy.
Lots of money.
Could be the economy.
Right. Well, also that they are more likely to pay out on an animal policy than a human one.
Certainly more frequently.
Anywho. More frequently and all that. Yes, anyway, back to getting on a bus in Buena Vista.
To Buena Vista yet. Let's wrap that story up. We'll have even more time to chit-chat when we're through. And who knows?
Maybe,
just maybe, another moral.
Aha. I don't
ooh, yeah, there's one.
Driver,
ready to go.
Yes. May I help you? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to frighten you.
We didn't see it, that's all.
Driver.
Frighten the goats.
What
too.
Is this place?
Can't be Buena Vista.
Why did we stop here?
Oh, I thought I told you. This is the main gate as far as I go. There'll be a shuttle bus along in a moment to take you the rest of the way.
Oh, I don't like this place.
Now, why don't you all have a seat, and I'll check on the shuttle bus. If you'll excuse me a moment.
Well, you might as well sit down and be comfortable. Here, Mr. Witherspoon, let me help you.
Thank you.
Oh, here's a newspaper. Anyone want to read?
No, thanks. I want to get out of here.
Sandy, relax. Here's a part of the paper.
All right.
Oh, great, the society section.
Oh, here, Paul, the front page.
Thanks.
Well, looks like I'm stuck with the sports. Oh, Mr. Witherspoon, here's one for you.
Oh, thank you. This is the first section I read at home. The vital statistics. I always look to see if my name is in the obituary column.
Oh, Sandy, what is it?
Look, whose picture is on the front of the society page?
Well, who is it?
Mrs. Fowler.
What? Hey, how about that? Hey, Connie, look. Sandy, she's unimpressed.
What does it say?
Mrs. Harrison Fowler III, a prominent local socialite, was killed today in an automobile accident near Mercy Hospital.
Wait, let me see that. Why, it's obviously someone's kind of joke. Do I look dead to you, Paul? Paul? What is it?
Look at the front page, will you?
What is it?
It's about Sandy.
Me?
Yeah, listen to this. Sandy Butler, 18, was fatally shot by her father early today when she and her fiancé, Gerald Crowley, attempted to leave the family home on William Street. Butler, a mill worker, said he only meant to frighten the pair whom he believed were alone.
Oh, stop! Drew! What's going on? What kind of newspaper is that? Where's Jerry? I want Jerry!
Listen.
Oh, now what?
In the sports section. After receiving the checkered flag as winner of the 500 handicap at Palace Raceways today, driver Paul Mason lost control of his car and crashed into a concrete abutment. He was killed instantly. One puzzling aspect of this featured race is the disappearance of the winner's cup, which was to have been awarded Mason.
But I'm not dead.
Oh, what kind of...
There's something funny going on around here.
Mr. Witherspoon, what are you laughing at?
I just found my name in the obituary column.
Oh, where's that bus driver?
There's something else in the vital statistics. A 6-pound, 2-ounce daughter was born today to Mrs. Richard Wheeler at Mercy Hospital. Mrs. Wheeler is the daughter.
Oh, driver!
Here he comes. Talk to him.
Sorry to have kept you folks waiting. The shuttle bus is here. If you'll follow me, please.
No, we won't follow you. Hey, what's going on around here? What is this place? Where are we?
Why, at the entrance to Buena Vista. This way, please.
Not to
get
telephone.
We are not going any further.
I'm afraid you have no choice in the matter. He's right, you know. The truth is, we're dead. All of us. Just like the paper says.
Oh, that's impossible.
It doesn't happen like this.
I saw it very clearly in my dream. Like it or not, we're at the entrance of Buena Vista, the great beyond. Look at the name of your newspaper, Mrs. Fowler.
Omega.
Omega?
It's Greek. It means the end. Driver.
Yes?
What day is this?
Sunday, I believe.
No, I mean the date.
May 15th.
Look, this newspaper is dated May 16th. That's tomorrow.
Why, you're right.
Then none of these things have happened yet. Isn't that right?
Yes, I think so.
There's been a mistake, hasn't there? Somebody goofed. We're not supposed to be here, right?
That is correct.
Then you can't keep us
here. You've got to take us back. Take us back.
People, please. My course is only too clear. Everyone back on the bus, please.
Let's go. Come on.
Too soon for me.
Mr. Mason, would you assist Mr. Witherspoon, please?
Oh, sure, of course. Come on, Dad. We're going back.
Don't understand how this could have happened. I've never made a round trip before. Ladies and gentlemen, there is something I must tell you. When you leave the bus back where I picked you up, you will not remember anything of this journey. Mr. Mason, you will find yourself back at Palace Raceways. Mrs. Fowler, you will set off again for Mercy Hospital to see your daughter. Miss Butler, your friend Jerry is waiting for you at home. All will be as it was before.
granddaughter, my first granddaughter.
Mr. Witherspoon, driver, I'm tired. Tired and old. If you don't mind, I'll just stay on the bus.
You have that option, sir. Actually, they've only gained a day, you know. Each will be at his appointed stop, same time tomorrow. Welcome aboard again, Mr. Witherspoon. You'll love Buena Vista.
Yeah.
You have heard The Bus to Buena Vista, written and directed by Tony Aries for Crisis. In just a minute, I'll be back with a preview of next week's program and the names of tonight's players.
Creepy good.
In The Bus to Buena Vista, Constance Fowler was portrayed by Pat French. The bus driver was Loy Norix. John Amendola played Paul Mason. Mr. Witherspoon was Phil Harper. And Sandy Butler was Shirley Aries. This is your producer, Jim French, inviting you to join us next week at the same time for Crisis.
Good story selection, Dave. I like that one. I thought the bus driver sounded a little bit like our very own Bob Wells.
He did sound a little like Bob Wells, didn't he? Yeah, actually, he did. Yeah.
And now we're going to hear something that sounds just like Gar. Eerie House Radio proudly presents Gar's Moral of the Story.
If you buy a lottery ticket and die the day after, I hope you kept your receipt.
Yeah. Me too.
Yeah.
Where's my soundbite? My soundbite is gone to hell. There we go. You get a double.
Hey guys, I was just saying, if I could take one quick minute to turn serious here, as Northeast Ohio, the world lost another great Northeast Ohio comic, as it appears that yesterday, the great Martin Mull passed away.
Oh man!
Oh, I did not know that.
It just was released today, and as I got the first look at it here, his daughter, who is a television writer, what a surprise, announced his passing.
Ugh.
I don't know what it was. Him and Steve Martin felt parallel to me.
A lot of ways, they both really kind of started, you know, because his quirkiness. But I remember first time I ever saw Martin Mull, I was walking through the University of Akron Student Center, Gardner Student Center, and they had this video of a live concert he was doing. And I sat there through two. I think I missed a class. That was a good excuse. But I watched through the whole thing twice. So it just had me so absolutely enthralled with his timing and his comic genius. And as a role, I think I have four or five of his albums up in vinyl up in my collection here. So, sad to see. And he's one of these great guys from Northeast Ohio.
Yep.
He's there with his good buddy, Fred Willard, who...
Dave, you're one of those great guys. Dave, you're one of those great guys from Northeast Ohio.
No.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm not dying yet, Dale.
No.
Yes.
You don't have to be great. They just remember you more if you were, I guess. I don't know.
There was a timeless movie that Martin Mull was in called Clue, where he was Colonel Mustard.
Yes.
I love that movie.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so funny. Love that film.
There was a show that was lasted, I thought, pretty much one season on Fox. I can't even get copies of it from my wife. It was called The Cool Kids. And He was one of the ones in there. That show, and he was so hilarious in that. As all the guys were. Vicki Lawrence was in there, and I forget, the little guy, I forget his name, but I'm telling you, that was one hilarious show. I just don't know why it disappeared, why I can't even find copies of it. It's crazy.
From 2018? No.
Yeah, that would be about right, I think. I would think that would be about right.
Okay, Dave, I just found it. Martin Mull, yep, there it is. Yep, season one, 22 episodes. That was all they got, but yep, I'll pass that on to you, Dave.
Did you find the videos of it? Or?
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. Martin Mull is aged in this. He's gray. David Alan Greer's in it.
They were in a retirement home.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
that was
the
setting. It was a retirement home.
Yeah. No,
I like David Alan Greer in Mad TV. He was very, very good in Mad TV.
Oh my gosh, was he? Yeah. He wasn't the clown. That was somebody else.
No, that was one of the Wayans. Was Homie the Clown?
Yeah, one of the Wayans brothers. Oh my gosh. Oh gosh. Homie, don't play that.
Yeah. I always thought that would have been great when I was a DJ to dress up like Homie the Clown. So when somebody makes a request, I hit him with the sock. Homie, don't play that.
Wow. That is Carol Lawrence, I think. Is that her name?
Vicki Lawrence.
Yeah, that's her. Yep.
Hey, that's a break away from this cool conversation, but tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Please get your correct change and get on the bus, Gus, because we got some more for you with CBS Radio Mystery Theater, and maybe we'll just squeeze in a mystery project as well.
Yeah.
Maybe.
And then it's a short one. It's a shorty. Yeah. It's a shorty.
Yep. And hey, watch that. right after our show, which ends about 8 o'clock, what could one do if one wished to be entertained further?
One could go over to the Twitches and see Horrible Horror starring Gar the Ghoul until around midnight.
Yep. Or when you run out of gas, whatever happens.
Yeah, or if you get on a bus and, you know, things change.
Things change.
They do.
Now, that last story, once you get on that bus, you're not likely to get too many changes.
Yeah.
They just got on a day early.
Yeah, you get an extra day, but that's about it.
That was kind of cruel the way they presented that too. Like, sorry, you're gonna be dead. You're gonna be back on this bus tomorrow, loser.
But they took away their memory, so that was like, well, there you go.
Still, not cool.
Nah, holy heck.
So make like Ralph Crandon and hop on the bus tomorrow.
Yeah. Take that bus to Canton, Ohio tomorrow. Take that bus to Hall of Fame City, Canton, Ohio. And I'll be there at the Doubletree for the Monster Fest 2.
Monster Fest. With real live Sasquatches.
Well, yeah. I don't know about real live ones. At least people who say they're real live ones there.
Oh, okay. Psychic Sasquatch. Why not?
Dale, are you headed out to see Dave tomorrow, or was that?
I am not. I wish I were. I really wish I were, but I am not.
You could get on a bus.
You could get on a bus.
There are no buses in Wellington. We have trains, and they're kind of limited where they go by the tracks, you know. So.
For a short period of time, I was in Utica, New York, and they had trains. You'd get on a train.
I'm not fast enough to catch up to the boxcars and jump in. We do have scenic trains out here, though. We're part of the Scenic Valley train routes. So, Dave, you may be blowing through here. You like riding them trains once in a while.
I do. I haven't been there for a while. Yeah.
Yep. So we're going to wrap it up, folks. See you tomorrow, 6:30 Eastern.
The castle lights are growing dim. There's no one left but me
And him.
And him.
When next we meet in Frankenstone, don't come alone.
Can you dig it?
Close the door. Thank you.
There you go. Yeah,
well. Oh, my.
It's nice when the timing is almost right in the studio. Maybe my enhanced speed is making it better because the last couple of weeks, the timing's been pretty good.
Okay.
It's been running close to real time left.
Right. I just replaced a whole bunch of gadgetry on my side. And things seem like they've gotten better, internet-wise. But it just, I should have taken a more, a different kind of approach where I should have systematically gone, okay, I'm changing this device. Let's see what happens. I'm changing this device. Let's see what happens. Instead, I changed like 5 devices at once and just said, do your work? I was like, I do.
Boy, our local cable company is losing business fast with this company I signed up with. Everybody on the street is getting it who was previously getting.
It's a fair fault if you get such slow internet service. If somebody's going to come by giving you better.
The image is, at least what we get at home, the image is bad too. It's grainy compared to when we're streaming. It's like crystal clear.
Yeah. Right.
The stuff I get. The stuff I was getting on Roku, that's another reason I kept watching Roku. The quality of what I was watching was much better.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But now with the new system, whatever you're streaming or bringing in on TV is better?
Well, no, the faster internet didn't affect that as much as things don't, like, time out or anything, like they used to a little bit with the old cable company. But they don't, and like my pages on my computer load up faster and stuff like that.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right.
And this is the lowest speed they have. I can upgrade at any time. And depending on the future of Erie House, I may just do that.
Yeah. I this doesn't make any sense to me. It makes sense. It makes logical sense that if you are plugging a cable from device A to device B, then you have immediate transport of data right there. And so if you move to, say, a cable company where they're moving data from point A to point B via a cable and from point B to point C via a cable, you should not have this loss of signal or whatever. It should all work.
Well, plus, they're probably somewhere in that stream. They're getting it from a satellite, too, as well. And I just think all that stuff and the cable, maybe the quality of the cable isn't good. I don't know. This is more of a fiber optics hookup I'm on now.
If they refuse to upgrade their infrastructure, which if they're a multi-trillion, billion-dollar company, hey, upgrade your infrastructure, you'll get more customers. Hello, it's a business thing. And they won't, and they don't, and they lose customers. They go, well, I wonder why. It's like,
put my cable show on their channel, it would have healed everything.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I was after them for years, and they're just, nope, we're not doing local access stuff. And it's like, well, you might want to consider it.
Oddly, I never went horrible hard to become mainstream ever, really.
You'll probably get your wish.
Because
there's people who are banging their head against the wall trying to, and they ain't doing it.
Right.
And if you're not trying, you're probably going to get your wish.
I love Mike Mace, but he's always trying to tell me, you need to do this, you need to do this, and, get this attention here and get this attention there. And, I realized many years ago when I started this, we're not mainstream. We're not going to be mainstream. Let's just enjoy what we got and what we're doing.
Exactly.
Exactly. Exactly. I don't want an advertiser. I don't want a controlling other party interest. I want to do this thing.
When you go mainstream, here's the biggest thing, Gar, is you have zero time constraints on what you do when you stream. You go into the content and you run out. Okay. In a venue like this, it's scheduled and it's a little more formal. So yeah, we're restricted with time, but we have the freedoms to do things in the order that we want and so on, mm-hmm. and the content that we want. It's fine. We take calls. We talk about the topics that we want. We can be a little politically incorrect as long as we don't go crazy, or are mean-spirited about it. And I don't think any of us are mean-spirited, and that includes CW, and that includes our listeners.
Mm-hmm.
We just don't attract mean-spirited people. I wonder why.
Well, we also kick out mean-spirited people, so.
Well, I haven't had to. Yeah. I haven't had too much, though. I could count on one hand the times in 8 years that someone had to be blocked and removed.
Exactly.
It's just, and they were childish people just randomly prowling. So it's like...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was one of the things that I understood is, like, I like to bring an entertainment to folks, and I hope they enjoy it. And if they do, they come back. And if not, they don't. And that's okay. I'm not. It's an upside down hobby. That's all it is.
Yeah, that's true.
It is for most.
And I enjoy doing it.
Ride away for a while and do really well. And some people quietly do very well, and they're not tooting their own horn that much, and they're not spending money to have other people toot their horn.
Right. I think when it becomes an endeavor where you're trying to make money at it, you might lose some of the magic.
You do. You absolutely have to, because that's what big business demands. They want the control.
Yeah.
And it's a shame because, any kind of entertainment is an art. And as soon as you constrain it, you spoil the art. You crap on it. You water it down. You whatever. And that's probably not good for expression, for free expression.
You want to talk about lightning in a bottle? They could never bring back an I Dream of Jeannie. It just wouldn't work. You can't do it.
It doesn't mean they won't try. Well,
thankfully,
true.
There have been different shows that have witches on them and stuff like that. But nobody's ever said, let's redo Bewitched, thankfully.
Yeah, but look how many times they've tried to redo for movies
and
for television.
There was a movie, yeah. Maybe there were two. I don't remember, but yeah.
That was with What's-Her-Face from Australia. But think of how many times they've redone the series and the movies of the Munsters. And how all of them fell so far short what the original masterpiece series was.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh,
I
still have to see the Rob Zombie version. I'm dying to see that already.
Okay. I offer this out there. There are a whole bunch of different versions of Batman out there. I was brought up for the 1966, 1968 version. Adam West and Burt Ward, very colorful, very kid-like. And also the cartoon that started in the 60s. That was my Batman. Since then, there have been so many different iterations of Batman. He's darker. He's more grim. He does this. He does that. And that's the way that I've taken all the Munsters. Each one is a different little slice of what they are, including the Rob Zombie one. The Rob Zombie one is a nod to what they were doing back in the 60s, but it's Rob Zombie's, creation.
Yeah.
So...
enjoyable? So naturally, it's going to be at the very least, it's going to be a little adult if it's Rob Zombie, for sure.
I don't remember too many overtones in it. There's no nudity in it whatsoever. So that,
that's
I don't think there was any profanity. There was no profanity. I'm pretty sure there wasn't. I watched the whole thing, and I wasn't, mentally scarred by it.
I want to. I'd like to see it. I'd like to see it.
It's out there.
I will. I'll see it. I'll find a way. By hook, crook, or snook.
Like, the Addams Family is another one where it's been reinvented.
Yeah, but you can't even come close to the original TV show. I mean,
no.
Who knows? Maybe the people who enjoyed them first as what was that, in the Atlantic, or was it what
the
magazine
Atlantic,
was
yeah.
it? The Atlantic,
the yeah.
original comic strip. You know, maybe those people feel like, well, the TV show didn't really capture it. But we grew up mm-hmm. on the TV show, and it was the greatest thing. It was funny as hell. Oh, my God.
And I've looked at those cartoons. Those cartoons are funny. They're basically
one-panel cartoon.
One-panel cartoon. And I thought they're great.
They are.
Mm-hmm.
And just like the Batman, it was very campy. Where and the monsters were kind of campy as well. But when you look at what the original was and turn it into that, it was campy. Like the Batman originally was a darker thing and became very campy in the 60s.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So.
There are a whole bunch of Batman fans that go, we hate the Adam West. We hate the 60s. I was like, if it wasn't for that, the character might have died because the sales were so low, and all of a sudden we're on TV, and then everybody's like, ooh! And now you say Batman, just about everybody knows who you're talking about, the character.
Sure, DC and Marvel were having at it because, once Stan Lee got... Once he got Marvel going, you know, these characters started becoming extraordinarily popular, and DC, I think, was impacted in a good way and improved what they were doing with Batman and Superman and Green Hornet.
Yeah.
I mean, Green Lantern, I mean. Excuse me.
Yeah. I love the 1960s Marvel cartoons. Very limited, the animation, but it told the story. And it was very...
The voices were cast well, I thought.
Yeah, and the artwork was Jack Kirby's artwork for a lot of it, or whoever's.
It was Jack
good.
Kirby. Yep, it was Jack Kirby-esque if it wasn't the man himself.
Yeah, and just, wow. I enjoyed those when I was a kid.
It's funny how basic his art was at the very beginning of Fantastic Four, and then it just kept getting more... And Steve Ditko went through the same progression with Spider-Man.
Uh-huh.
Just started getting more and more detailed as they went on. By like the 10th or 15th issue of each, they were getting really sharp with their art and really artistic.
And I read this a book, an omnibus of Kirby, and or possibly I saw some video about it. And the people that saw him work is just, this guy, man, he was like both arms just rolling over paper, making all these things, and it was just like insane to watch him create all the machines he came up with and all the characters, and just an amazing mind and ability. Just wow.
Yep.
Dave's not the comic book guy, but I'll tell you what, that's some good stuff, Dave.
Yeah, Dave.
I hope you guys don't mind. I send you those hump day smile things.
No, I love them.
Sure. Yeah. You update away. Dave, when you were a youngster, I know I've talked to you about this before, and I've forgotten. You weren't all that exposed to comics, were you?
Not really. We didn't have we didn't have that in the budget. So, you know, I used to watch a lot of television, a lot of cartoons and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I do remember watching the Fantastic Four when they were originally on television.
Oh,
and,
the Hanna-Barbera one,
So it was, so there's
Clobber
funny. You showed a few of those yourself there, Gar, and I think they're great.
Two of them.
They're great. And they have aged well as far as I'm concerned.
I think so.
I have to do two things. One, I have to go find the best copy I can find, and then we have to bring it in, and we have to correct the coloring and possibly sharpen it.
So there's a little bit of editing to go into each one of them. But, yeah, I love those, the original 1968 Fantastic Four. Great stuff.
Yeah.
Very true to the comics.
I like the old Spider-Mans, too. Those were fun.
Oh yeah. Garmond or something like that. Who was that? There was somebody. Bakshi.
Bakshi.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Only at first, though, only the first couple seasons. Towards the end, it got more like Marvel. It started looking
right,
like John Romito's art.
When
John Romito took over Spider-Man after Ditko moved on.
Yes. Yeah. I remember those. The watercolor backgrounds were just insane. It was like an LSD trip for comic people.
It was very 60s. They had very good 60s type music to go with it.
Oh, yeah. Jazz. That's right.
Yeah, not just the theme. I mean the ambient music throughout the the episodes was really good.
Yeah, yeah. David
and I did a show on how impactful music has been, like for movies and TV shows.
Mm-hmm.
Before we were doing old-time radio.
Yeah, it's amazing when you run across that stuff. What did I just – I just ran across the Stan Freberg and his bit about Deo, where they finally get the guy to walk out of the room because he's too loud. Like, Deo! No, man, you're too loud. You're too loud.
The beat that keeps pushing them out, yeah.
Yeah. That's just – man, Stan Freberg was just –
Damn
amazing
those smelly, damn those smelly beatniks.
Yeah.
Too lazy to
man.
Clap. They click.
Yeah.
Was that why? They were too lazy?
So true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was an interesting
Funny
time.
Thing
and we grew up in it.
Yeah. Well, it was an overlap. More of an overlap for me from beatnik to hippie. But you guys might have a little bit more of a hand in the beatnik than I did. I don't know.
I remember the tail end of the beatnik stuff. I was real little when it was actually going on.
Exactly. And me as well. Was there any beatniks left over in 64? I don't know. Could have been. You never know. But definitely an impact on television. They're used in sitcoms. Larry Storch was a beatnik for something. Was he a beatnik in Batman? Huh. I can't
could
remember.
Be, man.
Could be, man. Larry Storch was all over the place. He was in so many things.
He was everywhere.
What's so funny is he didn't. As funny as he was, he did not get locked into just comedy because he did a lot of dramatic roles as well.
Yep.
Yeah.
Although, Kelly Bundy used to go to the Larry Storch School of Acting.
Seriously, really? Okay.
On Married with Children. That was one of the running gags because she wanted to be a model. And she went to the Larry Storch School of Acting, and he did do a guest appearance.
He did
twice.
A guest appearance on it. Oh, wow. That's crazy. Yeah.
Unmarried with Children. Yeah.
You know, I went up to a girl once and asked her if she was a model. She said, no, I'm real.
Uh-huh. There it is. I knew it was in there.
Funny, I have girls telling me all the time, you ain't real, man. You just ain't real.
Yeah.
That being said, I'm going to take my fake ass out of here. Oops. Out of here.
Wow.
Oops.
Oh. Oops.
And head for the hills of Kalidom or something like that.
Yeah. Okay.
And I want to thank our listeners, Dogsbane and good old Bob and everybody else.
I did just upload Lefty Dale, so.
Oh, good.
It's there.
I just
thanks
dumped
for reminding
everything
me.
Tonight.
Thanks for reminding me.
That's okay.
All the best on your Monster Fest there, Dave.
Thanks. I miss so much Gullardi Fest. I'm looking forward to spending the day there tomorrow.
Yeah.
I miss it, too. It's gone.
Yeah.
Anyhow, let's bring in the one.
Let me do anything. There you go.
The schnoz, yes, sir.
Good night.
Good night.
It's time to say goodnight. What more to say but goodnight? We've had a few laughs, and it's time for toodaloo.
Good night, CW, wherever you are.
We the same, and it could think it do.
Jeez. Close that door, Dave.
Good night, folks. And good night.
Let's put my pants back on.
Calabash. Oh, wow. Well, I never.
Boy, are you
said I do. I don't.
The foregoing has made it obvious to me that we've had quite enough for one evening. We shall save the rest until next week when I shall reappear. Until then, good night.
Good night.